بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون. Three basic commands. First of taqwa, second of wasila, and the third of jihad. As for taqwa, and taqwa is the most frequented command in the Quran Sharif. It's so much repeated that in some places of the Quran you will find that the command of taqwa is repeated in a single verse. One verse, and in one verse it's repeated. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَالْتَنْزُرْ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Starts off with taqwa. The verse starts off, begins with taqwa. And the verse ends up with taqwa. So there must be something about taqwa for Allah Ta'ala to repeat it so much. The essence of taqwa, well, we translate it as the fear of Allah Ta'ala. But hold Allah Ta'ala at that esteem that it becomes a barrier between you and sin. يَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ خَشْيَتِكَ مَا تَحُولُ بِهِ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ مَعْصِيَتِكَ. Hold Allah Ta'ala at that level, at that point, that fear becomes a barrier between you and transgression, barrier between you and disobedience. Overall, when Allah Ta'ala makes a command, then He will show you ways to make it easy for you. So He asks you to do two things. One is to seek the wasila. Wasila will translate as the means of gaining closeness. Of tahu ilayhil wasila. Literally what wasila means is to join up, right? The word is written sometimes with seen and sometimes with saw. But there is a very great similarity between both the words, because both mean to join. But when it's spelt with seen, then not just joining up, but joining up one thing to the other with a passion. At night, in the open, you light a fire and you see insects and butterflies, right? With a passion they're diving in. As though they were born, and with their birth, they offered themselves to the fire. They're so crazy about the fire, so crazy about light, that they can't resist the temptation that they gave themselves. So, joining up, but joining up with a passion. One is just to join up. You're fighting long enough now, join up now. When someone is going to insist on you, then you'll join up. But you'll just join up because someone told you. The passion is not there. Heart is not there. You don't want to join up really. Because someone told you to join up, you're finding it very difficult to join, but you are joining up because of whoever is telling you whatever. And here Allah Ta'ala is saying, join up, but join up with a passion. We didn't know the person for a bar of soap, right? From the very beginning you didn't know. And then you said, nakahtuha. Now you joined up, you linked up. And you linked up so much, may Allah Ta'ala make us maaf, that you forgot your parents also. The link, the joining up, so much. Where are you going tomorrow? I have to find out. But you never said this before marriage. Although your parents were alive, then there was no need to find out. But now suddenly now you need to find out. So the link, the connection is so great. Forget the impermissibility or permissibility, we're not talking of that now. But we're talking of the linking up, the joining. وَبْتَهُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةَ And she would say the same also. If you ask anything, you have to ask him. Right? So the connection is so tight that anything and everything, when one wants to ask the other wants to ask this one. So this linking, this connection, but the connection with a passion. You ask many of the first time fathers, you know, and you ask them, all right, how's the hour going on? She's going on very well. But she's there, not with me. And then you ask, are you getting your sleep? No, I can't get the sleep. But for 22 years, he was sleeping alone. He was getting your sleep. Now he just got married and can't sleep. So more than different things. It's a different experience. So the link with a passion. The passion. So therefore, for this link, you will even ask for it straight. Allah marzukni hubbak. Allah Ta'ala, bless me with your love, right? Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah should say, you know, rosy, sustenance, you depend on sustenance for your continuity. You can't continue without sustenance. Don't eat for 2 days, can you work? Can you function? Can you focus? No food for 2 days. You can't focus. Right. Can't think. Brains can't work. Didn't eat, drink anything for 2 days. You can't work. Right. So the love of Allah Ta'ala, you need to be sustained by the love of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala teaches us dua, Allahumma rizukni hubbak. Not just grant me your muhabbat, but sustain me with your muhabbat. I need so much of your love that the love gets so deep into my system that I can't live without your love. That's called living and loving. Right? So you can't live without his love. At every step of the road and his love, muhabbat. I was explaining this aspect some days ago. In the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, there are three questions, right? Jibreel alayhi salam is asked, Mal iman, mal ihsan, or Jibreel alayhi salam asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Mal iman or mal ihsan, right? So three questions are asked. Iman and Islam, iman you talk about beliefs and related matters, right? That is discussed in the madrasas, maktab, at every level this is discussed. You talk of Islam is also being discussed, namaz, roza, zakat, the madrasa, a higher level, tertiary level, primary level, at every level it's discussed. But what is not discussed, and if it's discussed, it is not acquired, is the last thing that Jibreel Islam asked for. The first topic is discussed at length. We'll have a special class in the madrasa, Ilmul Kalam, and all faith and iman and related matters they will discuss it. It becomes an imtihan subject. Islam and the secondary matters, you know, external obligations, right? That's also discussed. What breaks namaz and what validates wuzu. Everything is discussed and discussed at detail. But if there's a thing that is not worked upon, is the third, ihsan. Right? It's like the house, right? One is the foundation. Without the foundation and the columns, the house cannot stand. Right? So that's iman. That's the foundation and that's the column, right? Then the second thing that is required in the house is the walls and the shell, right? So the shell and the walls, it's like the amal, right? But I ask you, if the foundation is there, the columns and the slabs are there, and the walls are all put up, and with the roof, Will you want to stay there without the plumbing and the electrical, without the toilet and the wiring? Will you want to stay there for one day? So this ihsan is the third thing. And really it works both ways. That finishing that house, there's three things you have to worry about the finishing, right? One thing you have to worry about the finishing is this, that you need to finish yourself in the finishing. In this ihsan, you need to finish yourself in the finishing. In the words of suluk, they call fana. And in the fana, yet what is required is you finish yourself. When you say finish yourself, what do you mean? Don't mean go to Finland, right? No, it doesn't mean that. What it means, that you consider yourself literally, really, you consider yourself as a non-entity. My suggestion, my thinking, everything that relates to me and my thinking, my suggestion, doesn't exist. As though in suluk, you would require total taqleed. Simple way, taqleed. You don't say the taqleed of the imams. So you follow them without asking. That's the essence of taqleed. You follow without asking. Having the conviction that he has a proof for it. But I don't know the details of the proof. He asked you to say the Ameen softly, so you read the imam Ameen softly. Then you won't ask the imam, alright, what's your proof for this? But you know, you're convinced that he's got the proof. So you're going to follow him and you're not going to ask him. But you're convinced that he's got the proof. So the same will apply in suluk. That you will just follow. You won't question him. Right? You will follow, you won't question him, and you'll be convinced that he knows what he's doing. Right? And I ask you, don't we apply the same principle in other sciences as well? You go to an engineer and he designs the slab, he designs the columns, right? He designs the foundation. More or less, these are three things that he will design. The slabs, the foundation, and the columns. These are three things that he will... But do you ask him, why are you using this type of material in the whole work? Do you ask him? You will not ask him because we don't know the nitty-gritties of that. Why this type of steel and why must it be like this in the slab? And why must it be like this in the column? You are not asking the details. Right? Because you are convinced that he knows his work, and you don't know his work. He will not mind you discussing the nitty-gritties if you are his equal. Right? If you are an equal with him, he doesn't mind. Alright, now a man of the same fun, the same profession, we can't discuss equal on equal, right? Because he knows what we are talking of, and I know what he's talking of. And I feel that will apply to every fun, every profession. A dentist, he will talk at a certain level. Talking about a root canal, he'll tell you, right? So a dentist to a dentist, he will speak to him, and he'll speak to him freely. But now you want to know what's a root canal all by, see. You want to really know, then you also apply for the course of dentistry. Spend your 5 years. After you have finished the whole course and everything that goes with it, then we'll talk to you at your level. At my level, I'll talk to you. Otherwise, I will start from the scratch now, you know. And this is how we learned in the first year, the second year, third year. Then bring you to an equal platform. Then I'm able to relate. But before that, it's a waste of time. I'm going to tell you that we're going to do this because of this reason here. They say, why because of this? You have to give a counter reason. Then a counter reason. Then a counter reason. But it doesn't end. So if you are so enthusiastic, then you also follow the alim cause, become a maulana, etc. Then you will understand it, then I can talk to you as an equal. It's worth the discussion. Otherwise, it's not worth the discussion. I'm going to break my head, I'm not going to get anything. Eventually, I'm still going to recite the Ameen softly. After all the discussion, the brain wrecking and all that, that iman or Ameen is to be still recited softly. So what's the need for me breaking my brains with you? I'm not going to get any additional sawab. If I'm going to break my brains, I'll show you that I'm more smart. I'll show you I'm more intelligent. I don't need to do that. I'm convinced that I have the proof for it. But to be able to discuss it with you, then you need to be of the same level. And if you're not of the same level, then it's going to be difficult for me to explain these things to you. So then, either you're going to learn it to yourself, otherwise, if someone has learned it and mastered it, then trust him. And I say this applies to every profession. Any profession and every profession. Go to a doctor and you ask him about the nitty-gritties. Why are you giving me this tablet and not that tablet? Why are you giving me a Voltaren? And why are you not giving me Panado, right? So I'll give you the reason. I said, doctor, I will need to ask you another question. And the patient fires you up with 10 questions. Why? You either go and learn the whole subject, otherwise you pay me 10,000 for my time. Because, you know, it's such a big queue here. For me to explain this to you will take me 5 hours. And then I can make 10,000. So you pay me the 10,000, then I'll see it to you. He's also so cautious about his time. You know, the time is worth money. But the cheapest thing in the life is iman. Anybody can ask any question. Cheapest thing. So anyway, we're talking about ihsan. So I say that in ihsan is like the finishing. And without the finishing, you don't want to stay. You don't want to live there. The place becomes livable when there is ihsan. There's lights, there's fans, there's an aircon, there's windows, glasses, right? There's furniture, there's the electrical, there's the plumbing, there's the tiling, there's the painting, right? And all these are put in place, built-ins and everything, everything is put in place. Now it makes the place livable. You want to stay there. So exactly the same in deen. When there is the finishing, that you are eager to be in deen. The house of iman, the house of Islam is complete. So you want to be there. You are yearning to be there. You like it, you like to be there. Because that house of iman is complete. And as long as the house of iman is incomplete, then you just want to do your 2 rakats and run away. Or you don't want to come there on time. You want to come there, you come there out of convenience. And otherwise, if that house of iman is complete, then you will find the comfort in the house of iman. The house of deen, you will find comfort. Qurratu ayni fi salah. Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say that the comfort of my eyes is in namaz? Because the ihsan was at the highest level. When the ihsan was the highest level, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had found the greatest comfort in namaz. Our house is designed, and it's designed really state of the art. Very well designed, planned, everything. Then you find a lot of relief, a lot of comfort there, right? A lot of, provided the wife is also cooperating. She's cooperating, she's welcoming you, she's doing everything as you want. So you find the greatest comfort within the house. You don't want to go out of the house. House is complete. So this finishing is ihsan. And that ihsan makes that iman and deen livable. It sustains the entire life. It brings about that continuity, that brings about that progress. What is this? This is that ihsan. And unfortunately, we don't invest in this ihsan. And if we invest at a very small amount, we invest in ihsan. Everything else we will invest. But not in this. Now, one is, I showed you logically that the house of iman will become livable when there is this dimension of ihsan, right? So as you live in this planet, you want to live in iman. You want to be comfortable with deen. You want a deeni friendly. You want deen to be friendly to you, right? So bring the element of iman. Bring that element of ihsan, right? If you're talking about ihsan in the hereafter by Allah Ta'ala, again the same thing features. Here ihsan features because it's the finishing of your iman. It's the finishing, it's the completion, the perfection of your iman. When it's the perfection, then you want to be there. You got a longing, you got a yearning, you don't feel comfortable, right? Until you haven't been at home. And most of us, or many of us, are such that you ate in a dawat, right? But you still want to eat something when you come home, right? You ate the biryani there. But you don't get the full satisfaction, you know, sabar abigyo. You won't say that. Something I left, you just open the fridge, eat this thing and that. Now you say, now I got the satisfaction, I'm full now, I'm complete. So the full satisfaction in this world, you find within the house. The wife is right, the house is right, the design is right, the comforts are there. You find the full satisfaction. So iman will give you that full satisfaction when there is this element, this feature of ihsan. And ihsan translates as do it well. Do it well doesn't mean like how you think it must be done well, how Allah Ta'ala wants it to be well. You're doing it well. So this is ihsan. For this you need to go for a training. And I say in this life, that aspect of ihsan features so high, that it makes you comfortable in iman. And you feel uncomfortable out of iman, right? You out of your house, on the street, do you feel comfortable? Say 10 o'clock at night, do you feel comfortable? You feel the comfort within your house, right? You out somewhere on a journey, do you feel comfortable? Even at a hotel, do you feel the comfort? You don't find the total comfort. Can do, I can eat and all that. But the total relaxation is just in the mind. You know, I'm going for a holiday, I'm going to chill down, chill out. But you don't find the full satisfaction as you would find within your house. So exactly the same happens with ihsan. When you added this dimension of ihsan, then you find that full satisfaction. I'm happy. Don't need to go anywhere. Now the need to go around, running around here, Berg's and wherever else, is because we don't have that ihsan. And when you don't have that ihsan, then you don't have that fulfillment, you don't have that satisfaction of the mind, of the heart, is not fully satisfied. And this ihsan feature comes in fully satisfied. With dar viewer also you're happy. Masoor and mug you're still happy. Full house you're happy. So it features in this world, and it features so important in the next as well. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. They also again, Allah is going to rate you, he's going to mark you down, and he's going to credit you with rewards based on ihsan. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Here you feel the comfort, there you get the marks, all based on ihsan. But unfortunately, this is the thing that we invest in the least and the weakest. Do something now and then, don't do it the other time. Do it one day and don't do it the other day. So then you want that ihsan to come into you, upon which the marks are based. The whole mark is based on the ihsan. The comfort in this life is based on ihsan. So the whole basis is on ihsan, and we're not investing in this. And if you're investing in it, then investing in it selectively. Namaz, I must get it. Tahajjud, I must get it. But how am I dealing with people? How do I work with them? Or do I work with the consciousness of ihsan? Then I want to know why things are not working out. So in namaz, we got it. So we got it selectively, right? By zikr, you don't disturb me now. But when we are in our businesses, with our wives, our children, holiday, whatever situation, circumstance, but does this feature of ihsan, does this aspect of ihsan feature? So ihsan, it's extended it to every aspect, every dimension of your life. The most secret of your moments and the most public of your moments, but that thing is not free of ihsan. When I'm going to talk to you, I'll be very, very cautious. Hey, what am I talking? I don't want that aspect of ihsan must be compromised. It mustn't fall. It mustn't just collapse. It mustn't collapse. I ask you, there's just two tiles in your bathroom or your kitchen. It just fell off. You'll be happy. Especially people like us nowadays. Olden days, they say, no, we're getting our food. We're not going to eat the tiles and all that. Whether it's there on the wall, not on the wall, it's not one of those things. That's how people thought before. But people are a bit more intelligent now. Hey, no man. That tile, I'm getting a headache. That thing must be there. Whatever it costs, put it, make it right now. You can't see next week the wedding is coming up. All the mehman will come. What do you think about this house? So we need to get it right. That just one tile, two tile. And forget the tile not being there. Even if there's a small hairline crack on the tile. You know, man, this is very unsightly. Very, very unsightly. Can't stand that. Get that thing right. So the finishing, we finish ourselves in the finishing. Not realizing that the real finish is this imani finish. This real finish is this Islami finish. And that finish is called ihsan. And how Allah wants you to come to it is وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَ. Link up with him. But link up with him with a passion. With love. With muhabbat. You're doing your ordinance, you're doing your obligations, alright, as a ritual. Two rakats, four rakats, now finish, I'm going on. But you're doing with a passion. Look at that person that's doing with a passion. You look at him differently. Right? Like a person didn't eat biryani, and he's eating biryani, and he doesn't want to look at what's going on the right, what's going on the left. And the taste, the level of the cooking is too excellent. Don't want to hear anything. You guys can call, you can carry on with your discussions. I am just busy with this. One Englishman had come to India, and some Muslim had invited him. Those years, about 100 years when the English were ruling. So he entertained him with biryani. So just on that biryani, he accepted Islam. And he says, when the level of their food is so profound, is so divine, what must be the level of their religion? Qiyas, you see how he's making qiyas, how he's analyzing within his mind. And that was the thing that brought him to Islam. That the food is so profound, so thorough, so well prepared. Why? Respect and appreciate your wives. All what you're eating and you're enjoying is the qurbani, the sacrifice of your wives. Getting it free, right? You're not getting bland food, you're not getting boiled food. Just cross over and see what happens. Eh? Just for the trial run and see what happens. You're getting your achar, you're getting your spice, you're getting the taste, everything you're getting. So appreciate them. But now and then they have some of their own moods, right? Maybe that makes it more spicy. Right? So just take it, take the moods, don't worry about it. Overall, so much you are gaining. Your food is all sorted out. And two, your level of satisfaction, the whole variety. And coming to you and pleading to you, eat. So I say, just respect them. One of their moods and all, don't worry about their moods. Don't take them seriously. For all what they have done, I think that only that food that they have given you must be a compensation for all the mistakes that they make. Any mistake, small mistake. So we're looking at it selectively. Hey, Norman. How can she say this word? But so much she had done for you, you didn't look at it from that perspective, whereas it wasn't compulsory for her to cook at that level that you wanted. She takes care of your guests anytime. She takes her guests, and with a smile on their face, you will take care. And she still wants to know, hey, whether guests were they happy, they ate well or not. What did they have to say? So, وَبْتَهُ إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. So strive for the means of proximity to Allah Ta'ala with a passion, with love. This is called wasila. So now, the question is, what is this wasila? بِالطَّاعَاتْ وَبِالْأَمَلِ الَّذِي يُرْدِي. The tafsir says these two words. In the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and the actions that He approves, the deeds that He likes. With his obedience, you will gain proximity. How you will gain proximity? With two things. Being always in his obedience. And number two, with actions that he is happy with. One hadith is just passing my mind, Although it's a little bit off the tangent, but the hadith is just coming in with a bit of force, so let me share it, because this will overcome me just now. I'll be talking something else, but the hadith is just coming on my mind. See, there is a verse of the Quran, Alaykum anfusakum, take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves. Alaykum anfusakum. La yadurrukum man dhalla idha tadaytum. provided you are conforming with the standards of hidayat. Whatever is required of you as a Muslim, whatever is required, you are conforming with the works, the deeds, the standards, you're conforming with that. So what the verse says, provided you're conforming with the standards, then someone straying away, anybody straying away, will not hurt you in any way. Understood? He strayed away, because of him straying away, it will not bring any pain to you, it will not bring any hurt to you. In other words, a lot of tafsir, but let me just give it to you in a simple way. Whatever was required of you, you have done everything. If, for example, some wrong is taking place, you try to correct it to the best of your ability, you tried. Within your means, within your capacity. A Mawlana has got a better capacity, better platform. A non-alim has got a capacity, but he doesn't have the capacity of an alim, right? So every person, according to his capacity, is trying to promote righteousness and to bring an end to wrong, according to their strength, according to the capacity, according to their limitations, right? Everybody tries for it. Like I say, everybody's got their limitations, they got their capacity, but you're trying. You're not complacent, you're not comfortable with wrong. You're trying to correct it. If it's a wrong, then you're expressing your resentment. Sometimes subtly, sometimes openly, but you're expressing your resentment, right? If there's a dance carrying on in your office, right, then you express it, I'll go and do it outside, please, not in my office. Wouldn't you say that? So, you're expressing your disagreement with wrong. You're not silent. You're not approving of it with your conduct, with your behavior. You're not approving. If you need to say something right, then you are encouraging it. When you need to stop the wrong, you are stopping that. So whatever you are required, you are doing all that. Then after you have done all that, if someone still chooses to go on the wrong, then it's not your problem. Simple translation, it's not your problem after that. Understand? So understand it fully. Don't understand it selectively. I believe my namaz, so I'll sleep in my grave and he'll sleep in his grave. That's not the explanation. Yes, within your capacity, you try to promote the good. Within your capacity, you try to discourage the wrong. Within your capacity, within your limitations. Some places you can't. You're traveling in an aeroplane, and the hostess is not dressed correctly. And she is a Muslim. Somehow you get to know that she's a Muslim, but she's not dressed correctly. You can't stop it. How are you going to stop it? Or it's a Muslim plane and they're playing music, right? So you can't stop it. But you're expressing your disagreement. I don't agree with this. I dislike it. Trying to avoid it, you can't avoid it. You are in the plane. What can you do? Everything is locked up. You can't jump off. But you disagree with their standards, with their ways. You disagree. You don't ask them, why you don't play the music now? You're disagreeing with the wrong. You're encouraging the right. If it's namaz time, you're performing the namaz. So you're doing it a little bit visible. It's faras namaz. And when it's a thing that is faras, then do it visibly. Namaz, Allahu Akbar, making azan, rolling your sleeves and walking on the aisle. All that's an invitation. You're walking on the aisle, some Muslim on the right, on the left, rolling your sleeves, putting your topi right, taking out your miswak. You won't make miswak in front of everybody, obviously. But now, it's an invitation that, calling out azan, it's an invitation. After you have done whatever you needed to do, if someone still prefers to go on the wrong, it's not your problem. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu, someone came complaining to him that these people are fighting here. He's calling him a kafir, he's calling him a kafir. He's calling mushrik, mushrik. Right? What must we do? Can you understand how tense it's become? He's labeling him and he's labeling him. So Abdullah ibn Umar says, radiallahu anhu, that you go and advise them. If they listen to you, very good. You think that I will ask you to go and fight with them? No. I will never ask you to go and fight with them. If they embroiled in a fight, I will not ask you. Yes, you go and advise them. If they listen, very good. But if they don't listen, then tum apna fikar karo. You worry about yourself. Right. So the same thing applies, right? It's not a thing to be mentioned, but now it's publicized, right? The Nizamuddin issue, right? Advise the people that are responsible, you advised. Responsible or connected, at your level you explain, right? And after that, don't get stuck into this thing here. Now, why don't you get stuck into this? Because it's our blood, you know. When you hear a controversy, a problem, you want to know more. And what happened now? What's the latest? What happened now? And what happened now? What happened? Now, we have that mizaj, that temperament of what happened, what happened, what happened. Now, the wrongs that we bring about, we fall for ourselves. One is, it creates despondency within ourselves. Hey, now, you know, that was the last straw. The Tabligh Jamaat was the last straw. We held on to it. Now, they also left us. So you invited despondency for yourself. You brought about depression on yourself. When you got stuck, kept on asking, pursuing, finding out all the time. Your duty was to go and correct, advise, admonish. You did that. Now you're carrying on yourself. So that's the first problem that you'll bring. You'll fall into a depression. The motivation and the drive that you had, that is dead. You don't have the motivation now. You know, the people that we considered our seniors now, they left us. So now there's no drive in me. But you didn't worship the seniors, you're worshipping Allah Ta'ala. You held on to His deen. The deen is still alive. So why must you consider yourself dead if these people you feel that are of the cause? If they're of the cause, then it doesn't mean that you leave the work. It wasn't because of them that you're working, it was because of Allah Ta'ala that you're working. Allah Pak is still there. So then why do you leave the work? Yes, if you've been doing the work for them, then you must leave the work. But if you've been doing it for Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala doesn't die. That work must still continue. In fact, now your fikr must be doubled up. So don't make it a point of discussion. Spoke about it. Whoever you need to advise, you advised him. And then you continue your work. That's the first problem. The second problem is, apart from despondency and despair, the second thing that it will create, you will begin to feel proud and confident of yourself. See what these people are doing. And within your mind, you say, no, I am still alright, man. These people here, see how they behave. They call themselves ulama. And how they behaving. So you will feel proud about yourself, and you will look at these people with contempt. And when you look at the next person with contempt, you are losing everything. Nazar hikarat se dusre ko dekh rahe. So what's going to happen? Whatever you have got, that's lost. Because you consider yourself to be superior, and these people to be inferior. The good that you have got, you have lost and wasted that. That's the second problem, right? See that? The third thing is this, when you're going to get stuck into this, right? Make it a topic of discussion all the time. Then you could have done so much of work. You could have decided Quran Sharif, make zikr, tilawat, etc. Right? All the time has gone wasted in this thing here. What have you earned? You made that person despondent, you made yourself despondent. You despaired, called despair for yourself and the next person. See that? Number four, we need to understand that for any good work, for doing any good work, we need to have some motivation, some happiness, you know, feel happy, you know, do it. You're going for your business and you want to hear good news. Right? This is on sale, this is how you should be doing it. You feel motivated, you feel a drive to go to your business. You don't want to go to your business with a hard heart, with a heavy heart. You don't want to go there. Go with the drive, with the motivation. Now, if you're going to keep talking in this manner, the drive that is in you, the motivation in you, all will be finished. So there'll be no happiness in you. When there's no happiness, now, what's the use of doing this work? So you're killing that happiness. So don't make this a topic of discussion. So this verse is telling you now that when you have advised them, you advise them, finish now, apni figure karo. You finished that work, that was one duty that was assigned to you by Allah Ta'ala to advise them, you did that. Like I said, within your limitation, within your capacity. Now make your figure. Hey, yeah, man. Yes, I'm worried about these things here. What about the pythons that I've got here? What about the pride I've got? I must use my eyes here. Hey, there was a music carrying on in that mall and I was going there. And I didn't do anything to correct that thing. That thing is still ringing in my ears. That beat and the drums and all that are still in my ears. And that other time I was looking at some other WhatsApp and incidentally something else came in. And that picture is still, it's captured in my heart. It's stored in my memory. And I'm getting flashbacks of that. So if you're going to get too stuck into this, you are going to be deprived of your own correction. But you are a path to complete. You've got a journey to accomplish. How far you gone? What have you done for the accomplishment of your journey? You're so stuck and so worried about that person. What about yourself? So you see the balance in Islam, the comprehensive nature of the Sharia. That you did this, but after that you didn't get stuck into this, you carried on about yourself. Now I need to continue. And if this discussion carries on, leave them, you carry on. If you can't stop them, then you carry on, you continue your work. Because that person is taking you, he's taking himself on the path of despondency, and he will force you on the same path. So leave that discussion and carry on the work. Then you will realize, hey, there's so much of work to be done. The talib is not taking place here, that gush was not done as it's supposed to be done, right? Right? And that area there we didn't cover, we need to go take a jamaat out there. So you'll understand the amount of work that is still needed to be done. You got stuck here, can you focus on these new avenues? The amount of work that is required, you lost that. And you got stuck in this thing here. So we're talking of wasila, right? Ways and means, you adopt means to gain the proximity of Allah Ta'ala. Adopt the means to gain the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, but with a passion. Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Thasani rahmatullahi says, that the command comes, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَ, right? And according to the pages of the Quran Sharif, the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala comes by you committing yourself to the sunnah. As you commit yourself to the sunnah, the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala will just progress. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni. Do you see that? In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni. If you have the love of Allah Ta'ala, then you follow my path. Now, in the following of the sunnah, we make a mistake, a very big discrepancy. Very serious mistake. We are committed to the visual sunnahs. Miswak will do it. The beard will keep it. Kurta must be at this length. That will do it. But the heart is filled with malice. Is that not a sunnah to remove this? When Nabi Samista is advising his dear khadim, وَإِنَّهُ مِن سُنَّتِي, this is my sunnah. He's talking about malice and cleaning the heart of the malice, and he says that this is my sunnah. So I ask you that if the visual sunnah is important, then this sunnah that is not visual, then ask you, is it not important to bring that into your life? And if you didn't bring into your life, are you on the sunnah? Can you say that you're on the sunnah? You can't say that you're on the sunnah. So as though you're talking of a home, you know, you give an example of a home. So you got, for example, the two rooms, you got it going very well. And the two rooms, you haven't got the plaster done, still brickwork there, no lights there, no carpets, no tiles, nothing. I ask you, that house, is it complete? House is not complete, it's incomplete. Because you got one dimension, right? And the other dimension is still in a mess. You don't want to show, you don't want to be there, and you won't want to lead any mihman into that room. You feel so embarrassed. So the sunnah that is visual, and the sunnah that is not visual, conform to the both. Bring that both. One is the visual sunnah, we all know about it, we learn about it all the time. And the visual sunnah of cleansing the heart. One is cleansing the heart, and one I'm talking about presently is hasad, jealousy. If you are excelling, then I must be one ahead of you. You got this type of a motor car, I need to have that type of a motor car. This type of a tile, I need to have that type of a tile. This type of a finish, I need to have that type of a finish. Right? So this jealousy that is ruining our lives, and that which we talk about, ta'akul hasanat, it's burning up all your deeds. Imagine all the works you're doing. Namaz you're performing, Quran Sharif you're reciting, zikr you're making, giving sadaqah and charity, going for umrah. And then this hasad thing is coming in, and it's wiping, burning everything out. Are we worried about it? Do we consider it to be a sunnah to cleanse our hearts from these things? So one of the serious problems in this time is that we're getting into other people's business, and we have neglected our own. Do we apply the same standard in material? Do we get worried about those people living in the jondos and then forget our house? Say, yeah, it's a pitiful condition. But with all that pitiful condition, you still do your house for 5 million, isn't it? As pitiful as you feel for them, but your house, you're not going to neglect your house. You're going to beautify it. Outwardly, it needs a facelift. The rooms also, it's too boring, man. We're seeing the same thing all the time. Facelift it needs. Same environment, change of environment now. Needs a lift or change, man. So I'm seeing these things for too long. So you don't get so consumed with the conditions of those people that are underprivileged and neglect your house. But then conveniently, why do we apply a different standard for our iman? Eh? Our iman and the next person's iman. Why do we do it? The exterior, the outside is a polish, is a gloss. But the inside, I say, what's there in the inside? Sometimes it is jealousy, sometimes it is malice. If we can only work on this at all times, just jealousy, is it jealousy, is it malice? Jealousy, malice. You'll see, a great deal of your problems will be cleared up. Jealousy or malice, but at any given time, the cash benefit that you'll get, what is? It's like a preservative. You know, you got a preservative for anything. This, removing this is a preservative, right? For a shelf life. It's got a shelf life, it's a preservative, right? And the second thing that it brings immediately, it brings happiness into you. Your heart is clean, no malice, no jealousy, you don't feel hurt for that person's progress, whatever. You have brought happiness in your life, free of charge. You know, you go for counseling, for bayan, all that, for happiness, right? But as an ease, Nabi Sallam is giving you a free prescription for bringing about happiness. Remove these elements of malice and of jealousy of your heart. And you'll see you'll be a happy person. You're happy for him, you're happy for yourself, you're happy for the world, you're happy for Allah Ta'ala, happy for his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You're happy, so you've got no malice in your heart. So you brought happiness. Otherwise, that happiness that Allah Ta'ala gave you free of charge, you're wiping it out. Now we're talking about the means of your closeness to Allah Ta'ala. Adopt the means, right? Someone will ask, alright, can you show us one of the means to gain the closeness of Allah Ta'ala? One of the more important means. I showed you about the batin, the sunnah. But show us something more important that you can lead us, you know, straight. Now, we spoke too many things, but one simple procedure how we can be led to this. So the hadith says, وَجَبَتْ مُحَبَّتِي الْمُتَحَابِينَ فِيَّ وَالْمُتَزَاوِلِينَ فِيَّ وَالْمُنْفِقِينَ فِيَّ. That my muhabbat, my love, Allah Pak's love, is ascertained, confirmed, for a confirmed ticket. Allah Pak say, I confirm my muhabbat for who? For those people that meet only for me. Not only because of a bride, but the bride will come straight away, right? Only for my love you have met each other. You're visiting each other only for the love of Allah Ta'ala. You spend on the next person only for me. Only for the love of Allah Ta'ala you spend on that person, nothing else. So Allah Pak says, what he says, my muhabbat is confirmed. So this is one of the shortcuts to get that love of Allah Ta'ala. What will happen in this? You love for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Then you look, well, is the person such that he will enhance me the love of Allah Ta'ala? Sitting by him, talking with him, will it progress me? Will it bring me the love of Allah Ta'ala? So now I'm seeing from another dimension of this thing. There's a change in me. It brings about a change in my iman. It brings about an improvement in my love. So I need to visit him. Like I'm spending for everything else, I need to spend on this. Because Allah Pak is saying, my muhabbat is confirmed. I've already confirmed it. When Allah Pak confirms something, then there's no cancellation. When he confirms, then there's no cancellation. Absolutely, it's impossible. Because he'll only confirm when it is certain, then he'll give you a confirmation. And if he's not certain, he won't give you a confirmation. So here he says, I will give you that muhabbat, and that muhabbat is confirmed. But how you go about doing it? Meeting only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Not to settle past scores, not to know what's the latest cars, and not for an entertainment and whatever else, not for that. That's for my sake. You're visiting each other, meeting each other, visiting each other, and spending on each other. Right? We are spending on everything else, right? Aren't we spending on the tile beautification, that other, whatever else? But for my sake, just for my sake, you can spend on each other just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So, what is this? This is a shortcut to gain the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. See that, وَبْتَهُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةَ. Access those means that will bring you close to me. Access those means that will gain you my proximity. And I ask you, but if you got Allah Ta'ala on your side, you got His love. It's confirmed that love is of Allah Ta'ala is confirmed, everything. Every stop on this journey, every manzil, right? Every station on this journey becomes easy. The grave is easy, that's a joke now. It's a breeze in the park, huh? It's a walk in the park. The grave is easy, the encounter of death is easy. Because you know you got the love, and you got the love of the real person. When you got His love, then He'll make everything work. Because He's the control. He is the actual control. When He is the actual control and you got Him, then phir kis cheez ki zarurat hai? What do you need after that? You got Allah Ta'ala. I ask you, do you need anything else after that? This one small story, I think out of about 2 minutes, let me tell you the story. Iyaz and Mahmud, the stories are quite popular, right? King and the slave. And, you know, when someone is showing additional muhabbat to someone, right, I'm showing additional muhabbat to one person, so the others feel jealous, like, hey, but why is more muhabbat to him? What happened now? He Hazrat called him specially and told him something. Gave him something. What he gave, you see. Don't you feel like that? It's natural we feel like that, right? So when there was that additional muhabbat between Mahmud and Iyaz, so the rest of the attendants, they felt very jealous about it. So they went to fill the ears of the king. But you know, you got muhabbat for him. But yeah, to kachra hai. It happens when you got that muhabbat now, you don't know how to adjust your muhabbat. And you see that additional muhabbat, so you want to cut him down sometimes. Right. Thinking now, by cutting him, my muhabbat will increase. So anyway, king said, alright, let me try and work it out. So he says, alright, just empty my vault, all the diamonds, whatever. So the most precious one that he had, Kohinoor or something, right? So he asked the rest of the ministers, go and bust the thing. There's a 14-pound hammer, go and bust the thing. Hey, Hazrat, you need to reconsider what you're doing. So he calls the slave. Everybody's just declining. He calls up the slave. He asks, go and bust the thing. Without hesitation, without winking an eye, he takes that 14-pound hammer and he busts the thing. Now, to make the rest of the house, the assembly or the parliament understand, so he pulled up his eyes in a stern voice. Boy, you didn't have brains. You could have seen these ministers, what they did, what was their take. So he heard all the shouting. After the shouting, he said, but king, you know what, excuse me, your command, right, it supersedes everything else. The value of this thing is nothing. Your command is so great. For that muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala must be at that level that everything is forgotten. Everything. No matter what comes, the diamond, whatever. But it is the command of Allah Ta'ala. The love of Allah Ta'ala must overtake everything else.